When I was in seminary, I had to read and study the Bible, Old and New Testaments. I went to a Methodist seminary, so for most of the students, a sure knowledge of the Bible was going to be more relevant to their ministry than it was going to be for me. But I still valued studying the Bible because the Bible is one of the foundations of our culture. If the Bible doesn't mean much to me spiritually, it sure means a lot to a lot of people. The Bible is referred to, quoted, invoked constantly in our social and political lives. Stories from the Bible show up in the paintings that I enjoy looking at and the operas that I enjoy. I feel that knowledge of the Bible and what it really says, rather than what someone has told you it says, is an important part of a well-rounded education. And I was glad to have the chance at seminary to study the Bible with professors who approached the book from an academic, not religious, scholarly, not faith perspective. I found my Old Testament class to be particularly fascinating. We looked at the history of the tribes of Abraham and his descendants and compared what archaeologists know about the history with the different way that it's told in the Bible. We asked the questions, who wrote this? And when did they write it? And why? We looked at the two different creation accounts, the stories of Abraham and Sarah, Noah and the ark, Jacob wrestling with the angel, Joseph and his brothers, Moses, the Exodus, and the pages and pages of the laws in Leviticus and Deuteronomy. And here is what I learned about all of those laws. I had thought that the Hebrew people who developed those laws were doing the best they could to organize healthy, safe lives for individuals and for their community. So something like the commandment not to eat pork might arise from people noticing that people who eat pork sometimes get sick afterward, and so it's probably best that we not eat it. Now, that kind of model might explain some of the laws, but there are hundreds of laws in the text, and they don't all have that kind of direct connection between things like getting trichinosis from eating undercooked pork. As I read through the laws, I began to notice, and I was encouraged to notice this by my teachers, this isn't an original idea, that nearly all of the laws concern themselves with making distinctions between the various things in the world, and then making sure that each different thing is kept to its appropriate place. It's kosher when something expresses its true identity and stays where it belongs. It's not kosher when things get mixed up with other things, when a creature's nature seems confused within itself, or when something proper for one place strays into a different place. For instance, in the first account of creation, the Let There Be Light story, God carefully lays out the world into three realms. There's the sky and the earth and then the sea. That's the first 3 days. And then God carefully fills each realm in the next 3 days with appropriate creatures. Birds that fly in the sky, plants on land and animals that will walk on the land, and finally fish that swim in the sea. So what's not kosher about shellfish, for instance, is that shellfish live in the sea, but they don't swim. They act like land animals, attached to or walking around on the ocean floor. They've mixed two kinds of animals in one being. They're in the wrong place. Wearing garments made of two different fibers or planting a field with two kinds of crops has that same mixed-up quality. God created the world as a perfectly ordered place. It's wrong to mix things up. The same goes with the many commandments about men and women. Each of the sexes, according to the Torah, have their own proper place and their proper role. Men shouldn't act like women. Women shouldn't do the things that are reserved for men. Further laws have to do with the Hebrew people as a community, trying to define themselves as a separate people distinct from the other tribes that are around them. The laws about circumcision, for instance, or laws about what to wear or how to wear your hair, are all about keeping people from getting mixed up with other people and in places that they don't belong. We are talking in worship this season, from the winter solstice to the spring equinox coming up later this month, about the personal goals of spiritual life. The why do you do it question of belonging to a spiritual community like this church and following a spiritual practice. We're looking at personal goals first, the goals that an individual hopes to achieve for themselves through their spiritual work. And then after the equinox, and then for the rest of the church year, we will look at the social goals of religion, which is what we hope for all people and the world we share, inspired by our religious principles, but for people that are beyond our religion. For personal spiritual goals, so far, we've looked at wisdom, courage, joy, personal power. Last Sunday, we looked at peace. And today I want to look at the spiritual goal of order, a sense of rightness about the world, or righteousness within ourselves, the sense that there's a place for everything and everything in its place, the satisfaction of knowing that our personal world is properly ordered, we're doing what we're supposed to do, where we're supposed to be, the right person at the right place at the right time. It's the sense that there is a perfect ideal out there, and that it is our goal through spiritual practice to discern that perfect order and then to fit ourselves into it, to organize our lives both internally and in the places where we spend our lives so that our lives match that perfect ideal, to keep turning, turning till we come round right. And when we find ourselves in the place just right, 'twill be in the valley of love and delight. I'm thinking of a quote from the movie Mommy Dearest, if you'll forgive me. But I have to say this, where Faye Dunaway is playing Joan Crawford, and she rents a new apartment, and she's unhappy that one of the exterior walls doesn't have a window that blocks the view. She doesn't care that there are very good structural reasons why you can't have a window in that wall. And she says, tear down that bleep of a bearing wall and put a window where a window ought to be. It's that sense of ought that I'm talking about this morning. Right and wrong, knowing one's moral duty, living by a code of conduct that comes from a source beyond yourself, taking direction rather than simply doing what you will. It's like those people who know exactly which fork to use for which course at a fancy dinner, or the people who know all the rules of grammar and tell you when you've broken one. You know who you are. People who have a sense for themselves that I'm supposed to do this, because it's the right thing to do. It's not that they simply have a refined aesthetic sense when they say something like, I put that vase on that table in exactly that spot because it looks better there than 2 inches to the left. It's that they feel the world is infused with a moral quality, and that vase has to be on that table in that spot, not because it looks pretty, but because it looks right. I'm making this spiritual goal sound like it only applies to obsessives. But actually, we all seek this goal of order and rightness and perfection to some degree. We all ask, what's the right thing to do? What's the right thing to say? What's the right form of government for a human society? What's the right thing for me to do? I worry, I wonder, what's the right way for me to behave? What's the right me for me to be? The feeling is that there is a standard of being and a code of conduct greater than our personal preferences, and that it's our job to match ourselves to that abstract model. We don't want to be out of place. We don't want to be the lobster shuffling on the bottom of the sea when we should be swimming. The universe is constructed in a certain way. There's a plan, and we're part of the plan. The more closely we can fit ourselves into that order of existence, the more satisfied, comfortable, healthy, and happy our lives will be. In some religions and in authoritarian governments, the view of the world, that view of the world, tries to push every individual into the same box. One size fits all, everyone on the same path. As Unitarian Universalists, and in the highly individualistic culture of the United States, we reject voices that tell us there is one model for men and women, one set of beliefs we all share, and one path that we all must walk. We celebrate diversity. In this church, each person is helped to be true to their own internal nature rather than urged to conform to an abstract nature that might be outside themselves. But even us, even we, are not completely disassociated from this sense of there being a standard of moral right and wrong that exists beyond ourselves. I'm sure you do this all the time. A few days ago, I was driving downtown on a one-way street, and a bicycle came down the street toward me. I stopped, and I glared at the bicyclist. I wasn't thinking merely, that's dangerous. I felt, that's wrong. Wrong in the moral sense. Going the wrong way on a one-way street is violating the social order, and that's wrong. Mostly, as liberal people, we're able to respect the different cultures, that different cultures have different values and have different ways of being in the world. Mostly, that's okay. But we also are able to critique some cultural practices because we intuit some higher value being violated, a value greater than one particular culture. Female genital mutilation is wrong. We know it's not just a different cultural expression. Slavery is wrong. Sex with children is wrong. There are things even in our own culture that we consider wrong according to a higher moral standard, even though they are permitted. The death penalty is wrong in that way for me. Workplace discrimination against LGBTQ persons is wrong, although it's currently permitted in 29 states. So I do think, even in Unitarian Universalism, that we seek a kind of moral order, a rightness or righteousness in our lives and in the world. That's why we have religious education for our children, and we read the Seven Principles, and we attend the social justice forums. We want to find the right thing to do and the right way to be in ourselves and to be in the world. And that wanting makes order or rightness a spiritual goal. I see two differences in the way that we pursue this goal in a Unitarian Universalist faith compared to other religions. First, we believe that the most relevant standard of being and doing for an individual is found within that individual themselves, not in a single unitary ideal for all people. We trust that you know best what is right for you. We affirm that the goal is to be the best you that you can be, not to try and mimic a universal standard. We want each person to express their own true self, not for all of us to conform to a single model. But there is still a standard that we follow. How many times have you fallen short of the standard that you have for yourself and then made a promise to do better next time? We know when we are being the best person we can be, and we know when we have missed our own standard. It's just that the primary standard we measure ourselves against is discovered within us, not outside us, in the pages of the Bible or somewhere else. And second, we believe that the notion of right must always be understood within the context of a specific time and place. So right and rightness is not eternal, changeless, and static, like laws that could be written in a book and still referred to 2,000 years later. The universe flows constantly from one state to another. What is right now will not be right at a different time. What is right for one person is not right for another. And your standard of right conduct might even be harmful to some other person. The church is a place where we learn to be who we are, to proclaim ourselves proudly, and where we are encouraged to become the best version of ourselves we can be. The church teaches us universal moral standards gleaned from many sources, world religions, philosophy, our own tradition, as well as discusses how those standards are met or missed in the actual practices of our culture. And this church urges all of us to more fully express those highest and best principles in our lives, in our congregation, and in the community beyond. Our spiritual lives urge us toward the right path, a way back homeward. But my home is not your home, and my path may not be your path. What's right for me is not always right for you, and right for here is seldom right for there, and right for today is sometimes wrong for tomorrow.